Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We go straight out to the HRP guest line. Hopefully our next guest, Taylor Dahl, isn't confused that the show just began. But joining us on the HRP guest line is Taylor Dahl. Inside joke, Taylor. I don't like how the big voice guy doesn't know that our show started 2 hours ago. But I digress. He's going to talk Texans, Jags here as we go beyond enemy lines.
Duval.
Catch Taylor Dahl on Helmets and Hills on 1010XL, the flagship for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Taylor, thank you for joining us, carving out a few minutes. We really appreciate it. I was watching all of Liam Cohen's videos and press conferences this week. I came away very impressed with him. What has he added to Jacksonville?
Yeah, Liam Cohen's been fantastic, and he's one of the guys that, I mean, obviously there's been several coaches here from the recently just with the Urban Meyer experience and then kind of feeling like Doug Peterson was going to change things and that falling off, and just right away it felt different with Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen came in and pretty much said by actions, him and James Gladstone, that this team wasn't good last year, and they made a lot of moves, including obviously parting ways with guys like Christian Kirk and Evan Engram, and a lot of guys that have been kind of safety blankets for Trevor the last couple years. So it really kind of made a mark showing that he felt like this roster could be much, much improved. He felt like the culture needed a lot of changing. So he brought people in here that he felt like had the attitudes and just kind of that what fit what he wanted to build in Jacksonville, which hadn't really felt like it had an identity in a while, probably since Jacksonville back in 2017. And so I do think that's a couple of the things that really stick out with Liam, is just really making his mark right away and digging into that very honest guy, which we appreciate a lot, because there's been a lot of, not a lot of honesty, I guess I should say, between Urban Meyer and Doug Peterson. And Liam's been very upfront. He will tell, you know, he'll call out, not in a mean way, but he will tell when players aren't putting out their full effort. And that goes back to a guy like Anton Harrison and the OTAs and minicamp time. And so there's been a lot of things he's come in and just kind of fully embraced the way that he feels like an organization should run, and hasn't shied away from that. So it's been really refreshing.
What's the early return on Trevor Lawrence as the quarterback under Liam Cohen? Are you seeing a big difference, you feel like, through two games and through camp versus what you saw with the previous regime?
So I think there's two sides to that answer, honestly. I think that, number one, one of the first things Liam Cohen did when he came in here was said, we've got to change the mechanics and the footwork. And I don't really know why it took 5 years into Trevor Lawrence's career for someone to say, hey, the reason this ball isn't coming out in a timely manner is because you are throwing off the wrong foot. And so there was a lot of issues with that. So the whole beginning of OTAs and beginning of training camp was with Trevor Lawrence adjusting that and some of the mechanical things that Liam Cohen noticed. So in that, as all that's happened, you have seen a change. You've seen him be able to get the ball out faster, which was kind of an issue last year. It felt like the times he could get the ball out fast is when you saw Trevor Lawrence at his best, but it wasn't able to happen a lot. And so it was kind of a joke almost, where Trevor Lawrence went to his first read all the time and he couldn't read the field. And I think some of that just was because by the time he would get through his progressions, he wasn't quick enough to kind of make that release and get the ball on target. And so that is one thing we've seen a massive change with, is just the release of the ball, the speed of it, the decision making, and some of those things have really started to progress with Trevor Lawrence. I think the one thing that Jaguars fans are still waiting for is to see maybe that accuracy kind of settle in a little bit. It's been an issue. There's balls that sail quite often, and it gets a little frustrating because it seems to be in bad moments, too. It's third down situations where you need to convert, or in the red zone where you need to convert, and those turn into picks a lot of times. Obviously, I'm sure people have seen the stat of how many turnovers he's had in his 4 years towards the top of the league when it comes to between fumbles and interceptions. So those things are just what you want to see start to get better, and last week he threw two picks, and honestly, it could have been four. So those, I don't think it's perfected yet, but I think you've started to see some boxes getting checked of Trevor Lawrence looking more comfortable and just being able to read and get that ball out a little quicker. But the accuracy, I think, is still something people are waiting to see get a little bit better.
Taylor Dahl of Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL in Jacksonville, joining us on the HRNP guest line. What's the deal with Brian Thomas Jr. and his limp wrist? Didn't want to go over the middle, wasn't on the injury report last week, has been on the injury report every day this week, but a full participant. What's the story here?
Yeah, we've been trying to figure that out ourselves, honestly. It goes back for me to last year. Last year in the first 10 weeks that Brian Thomas Jr., the first 10 weeks that Brian Thomas Jr. and Trevor Lawrence were playing together, because obviously Trevor Lawrence ended up getting hurt and missing the remainder of the season. But those 10 weeks, there were moments where there were flashes of, okay, Brian Thomas Jr. can be a really good football player. But he only had one game over 100 yards during that time. Trevor Lawrence goes out, Mac Jones comes in, and all of a sudden Brian Thomas Jr. has three games over 100 yards. He's just getting all of the targets. It looks like, okay, this is the moment of breakout. And so there was always a little bit of hesitation of why did it take until Mac Jones for him to really start to shine. And some people were saying, okay, well, he's a rookie. It took time to kind of lean into that. So that was one of the big questions going into the season, honestly. Was it a kind of miscommunication thing and really not being on the same page with Trevor Lawrence, or was it him just getting more comfortable in the NFL? And to be honest, through camp, I had a lot of worries. They were not on the same page a lot of times through camp. There were overthrows for Trevor. There were drops by BTJ. There were moments he wasn't going up and getting the ball, and that's something you would expect him to do when it comes to those 50-50 and contested catches. But then he would make some phenomenal play where you're like, okay, he'll be fine. Maybe he's just a guy that is more of a when the lights come on type of player, and the practice environment isn't really where he shines. And then you get to the first 2 weeks, and there's just not much there. And there's drop passes. Again, there's overthrows. A couple of the ones that people maybe are blaming on Brian Thomas Jr., I feel like maybe have been more of a miscommunication between the two. And if Trevor gets rid of that ball a second earlier, it's not what people are saying, a hospital ball, or it is caught, whatever the case may be. So it's definitely been a conversation here all week long of what is the issue, why can't they get on the same page, the frustrations, can we get past those? Because there clearly have been between not only Trevor Lawrence but also Brian Thomas Jr. We saw it a lot through camp, honestly, him kind of getting frustrated with some of the off-target throws and just them being not really on the same page. So we're hoping that some of those things just start to shake out, because Brian Thomas Jr., as people saw last year, has all the talent in the world. He's the ideal kind of prototype of what you want out of a wide receiver. And you just really hope that they can start to click and get on the same page. Part of that, I think, is just the timing between the two of them and maybe the lack of not playing together last year, and hopefully that starts to click soon. The wrist issue was kind of weird. We honestly hadn't heard anything whatsoever. I kind of just say I don't really totally believe it. I feel like it was trying to get some of all the negative energy kind of being thrown towards Brian Thomas Jr. to chill out a little bit. But so he says he's good to go Sunday, so we'll see if that hinders anything at all.
Are you surprised the Jags are favorites in this game? Only a point and a half, but are you surprised that the Jags are, at least according to Vegas, the team that's, you know, favored to get the victory this weekend?
It's really interesting, honestly, because I think that if you go back, obviously, the Houston has seven straight wins against the Jags here in Jacksonville. So it's something that has not been on the Jaguars' side the last several years. And so that's something that I think kind of is lingering. I think through 2 weeks, a lot of people would say overall that the Jaguars look like a better team. But I think you have to also look at opponents. And the Jaguars are playing the Panthers and a Bengals team without Joe Burrow for the majority. And obviously the Houston Texans have played the Rams and Bucks. So I do think the opponent level is a little bit different. But I feel like the line that I've seen is 1.5-ish is what most of the ones that I've seen. So I feel like just because it's at home, they're kind of giving that. But to me, that is at least the betting world saying that they do feel Houston's better, because usually that home team at least gets the 3. But I think this weekend, honestly, will give us a little bit more clarification on each team. Like, has Houston struggles they've had, at least offensively, been because of the opponents? And it's just that higher level opponents, and things start, you know, when you're going against some of those defenses and the offensive line is struggling and trying to figure out a way to gel, does that change a little bit? And then for Jacksonville, I think it's a time to prove, okay, you beat the Panthers week one mightily, but you lost to the Bengals and Jake Browning, and you said it was because of a couple drops and a couple interceptions and one play could change things. How much does that factor in? So I wouldn't say I'm surprised that they are favored only because they're at home, but I do think that these teams are kind of mirroring each other in a lot of ways, honestly.
Taylor, great insight. Appreciate the time, and look forward to catching up again down the road.
Yep, thanks so much.
It's Taylor Dahl. You can catch Taylor in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, with Helmets and Heels. Also does shows with Joe. Little Bears shows with Joe, huh?
Yeah, we do a weekly Bears show together.
Locked on
well.
Bears?
So, yeah, a little Locked on Bears on Tuesday nights. So, and you can go check out our show and say hi to RJ, because that's who her producer is.
Oh, so. RJ's her producer?
Yes.
RJ. Okay, all right. Good stuff. Yeah, Taylor was great. 713-780-3776. What do you think about this game coming up on Sunday? Jags, Texans.
It's always fun to win.
Anywhere from a point and a half, two and a half, if you believe that to be true. Liam Cohen had some words to say. Also, there's a reporter out in Jacksonville. It wasn't Taylor. I can tell because he was a man. That was trying to bait Trevor Lawrence into a little bit of Azeez Al-Shaair drama. Is that still a thing? What scares you about Jacksonville? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Right now, you can book a private event at St. Arnold. They got the beer for everyone, the beer garden. So if you're just going to go tonight or this weekend, always a great place to go. We had a lot of fun after the listener party at the beer garden. And they got the giant spaces for you as well. Spaces for 20 to 300 people. So weddings, family reunions, big birthday bashes, company happy hours. Holiday parties are right around the corner. So if you're trying to figure out where you're going to get your company together, St. Arnold is a fabulous place to do it. They offer a full in-house catering menu prepared by the St. Arnold chef, from an appetizer table to a full-on feast. You can book your event now, especially, again, those holiday parties to get prime dates. You want to do it because they're going to be going fast here as the holidays are right around the corner. And since you're a listener to this fine station, mention ESPN or My Name Joe and receive their brewery game package free for your event. That game package gets you a combo of dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, pool table, and as a bonus, the photo booth, which is always a hit, especially at a company party. Get started at StArnold.com. Just click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, what about bikes?
Bring us your bike frames, your forks, your handles. We got you.
So if you see a beautiful bike out there, chances are Houston Powder Coaters did that.
We probably signed off on that.
What do I need to do with trailers?
We need you to bring us the bare bones of that trailer, and we will make it like new for you. We can even do welding repair if needed.
How do you get an entire trailer to get Houston Powder Coaters?
We have the largest ovens in the region. That's Oklahoma, Louisiana, Texas. So bring us your big trailers and we have you covered.
We talked before about boat parts. Tell me what's going on there.
Summer's coming up. We like to be on the water here in the Houston area. So bring us your boat parts. We do have marine coating that will help protect it from all the elements that you have in the Gulf and all these lakes.
One thing is anchors for sure. What else on a boat?
Ton of railings, ladders, the T-tops. We do have accessories that you put around the edges of the boat. So if it's metal, we got you.
Call Robin and get your stuff, Houston Powder Coater, 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
McGrath Pest Control, basically hired killers. See their killing menu at McGrathPestControl.com.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Where's your fear for Jacksonville? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We'll get to that in a minute. First time that Azeez Alshire and Trevor Lawrence will go head-to-head or crown of the helmet to head. This reporter was trying to bait Trevor Lawrence into getting into some drama, I guess, with the return or whatever you want to call this. But here was a reporter the other day with Trevor Lawrence trying to bait him into a little bit of Azeez Alshire drama.
You say anything to Azeez at the point,
Tom? Will I say anything to him? Not outside of a normal what I would do, you know, whoever was out there for the toss.
You've never heard from him, right? Since
no.
The hit? Is that disappointing that somebody would that violent or maybe even dirty of a hit and not reach out to him, say, hey, sorry about that, whatever?
I mean, I'm past that. I'm way past that at this point in my life. So it's not something I've thought about since then. Everybody's different, you know. It's football. It's a violent game, and obviously it's unfortunate when things like that happen, and I don't want to get into all that again, but, you know, this is we're past that, so I'm not going to look in the rearview mirror.
All right, there you go. Trying to stir up a little drama, that Jacksonville reporter. Very clearly going to write a story about it. You try to lead mm-hmm. the witness there. Do you think Azeez should have sent Trevor Lawrence a little message, though? He never reached out.
No, because he said he didn't do anything wrong. He said he's not sorry, so you got to kind of stay on brand. Like, if that's the brand, if that's what you're going to go with there, and that's what he's still sticking with today, then and I'm fine with that.
I am too.
I didn't really have a huge issue with it. I think it was an aggressive play, and I think, you know, the punishment fit the crime and what he got from the NFL, and if it happens again, he'll get suspended for longer. So he needs to be smarter than that, but no, I don't think so. And I don't think we should also be surprised if, like, you know, there's a cheap shot, you know, from someone else to Azeez in this game. It's kind of everything's on the table when you have a hit like that. But, no, I don't think he needed to send him, like, a fruit basket or anything like that.
Fruit basket. No, I don't think he should have reached out either. Like, I don't think it was that terrible of a play. Like, Trevor Lawrence drops the target. He slides a little bit late. Your quarterbacks are trying to get away with things. They believe in a physical style of football. No, I don't think that anything was necessary. I don't think that Jacksonville is going to try to retaliate, though. I think this is done and over with. I think that the only, like, domino effect that we see in this game with what happened then, I actually think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a little bit more hesitant to run.
Yeah, I haven't watched too much. I'm curious if I know you watch every game, Jeremy. So I don't know if how much.
I try. I don't get that far.
No, you're not doing that.
I've been trying. I just fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
I fell asleep last night watching Colts Broncos.
Oh, I mean, that's just a banger to fall asleep to.
It was a 1-point game. It came down to the very end.
I know, and you fell asleep during it? That's crazy.
Yeah, I fell asleep like mid-second quarter.
Okay, so at least
the Colts offense looks good, though. Looks
good. That's why they've been picked twice now in Faves and a Dog or whatever we're going to call it at this point. But it's I think he should be a little more hesitant. I think in general, though, I think when a quarterback gets hit like that, I think it's intelligent for a quarterback to play a little bit safer. Like, we didn't see Tua hasn't really done that. I mean, he wasn't super aggressive last night, obviously, but he hasn't really changed his style of play since he got hit. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm more, I guess, on the opposite side. Is the ref attention? Like, is there extra attention because of what happened last year on Azeez in this game? I guess it's probably just in general in every single game he's in this year. He's probably one of those players that the NFL warns you about at this point as a ref crew. But, yeah, Trevor Lawrence probably shouldn't be running because, you know, he needs to worry about throwing. He's not very good at that either. So,
yeah. No, it would be interesting to see. What worries you, if you have any worry with Jacksonville? Anything?
Yeah, Etienne. The way that Bucky Irving was bouncing off tackles, I'm just guessing here. I don't feel like the size difference is that much. I think the build's a little bit different. But, I mean, Etienne's been really good through 2 weeks so far. Obviously, you can use him in a bunch of different ways, carrying the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield. And I was just really unimpressed with the Texans tackling against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if I was the Jacksonville Jaguars staff, that's something I would want to test right away. I know Boutel has been on the injury report a couple times. I don't know if he was on it today for the Jags, but That's the concern for me is can you tackle? Because it's as much as we talk about the offense and Nick Caley, the tackling is a huge concern for me at this point, and I want to see that be improved because that is something that I think tangibly we can see improve from week two to week three for the Texans.
I saw Lance tweeting about this earlier today, like his final all-22 thoughts. He thinks that the Texans can be ran on up the middle, which was evident with Tampa Bay. They did that a lot with Bucky and Rashad White. It's also interesting because the Tampa Bay offense and the Jacksonville offense are very similar, which I think bodes well for the Texans that you see back-to-back weeks and like, hey, we struggled here. This is an area we got to clean up unless it's that big of a weakness because obviously Cohen was at Jacksonville last year. They promoted from within. They're still doing a lot of the Tampa Bay stuff. Now, the other thing is that Liam Cohen used to be with the Rams and he saw D'Amico a lot. Also, the Texans have played a couple of offenses that are very similar to what Liam Cohen runs. So they have an idea of how the Texans are going to defend the things that Jacksonville does. So I think both coaching staffs have a bit of an advantage based on who they've played. I don't know how to say that Tootin guy's name. I drafted a lot of him, but I have no idea how to say his name. Bashal Tootin? Is it Tootin?
Bashal Tootin.
There, Tootin. Tootin with a shoulder does not have an injury designation, Joe. He was a limited participant, but does not have an injury designation.
Okay.
The only player ruled out for Jacksonville was Wyatt Millam. He's out. The questionable label
I do
for,
not know.
I don't either. Ezra Cleveland with an ankle is questionable. Everybody else is good. The only injury designation for the Texans was Jalen Smith. He's been ruled out with a hamstring, which means that probably the return of Jake Andrews at center. I think he would start at center if he's able to
good.
Go. Braxton Berrios, Christian Kirk also expected to make their Texans debut. They were a full participant. So that's the injury report there. I have the same thing. Like I wonder if the Texans are going to struggle defending the run against this style of offense. So ETN is up there for me too. Plus, I don't think we should dismiss the pass rush of Trayvon Walker, who's been much better lately, and Josh Hines-Allen. Like I think they can create some trouble for an offensive line, for a quarterback, for an offensive scheme that is having trouble protecting its quarterback. That's something that sticks out to me as well. Brian, what kind of worries do you have?
Yeah, just to expand upon what you guys talked about with the offensive line, because I heard Lance talking about it. He's absolutely right. I think it's twofold with the Texans and why they sometimes struggle to stop the run at the middle. One, they seem to prefer, and we had this conversation when Devondre Sweat was a draft prospect. They seem to prefer lighter defensive tackles so they can get up the field. So obviously that's going to create maybe a problem in the defensive stopping the run on the defensive side. The other problem is, especially with Will Anderson, I mean, you'll see it sometimes on the field, especially in that Buccaneers game. But Anderson, Hunter, Anderson more so, line up so wide of the tackle that it just creates massive lanes for the offense to exploit. So I am concerned about that. Look, I know Brian Thomas Jr. has been hurt, but you always got to worry about that. But I think definitely the top two concerns are stopping the run and can they protect C.J. Stroud.
Here was Liam Cohen talking about what his offense has to do against this Texans defense.
You just, again, we have to be very conscientious with the edge rushers, for sure, in terms of, you know, when we want to end up pushing the ball down the field, how are we helping those guys or whatever it is. And it's just an emphasis for the quarterback, receivers, tight ends. Like the timing and rhythm of the pass game needs to be sharp. You know, they play a lot of zone, but they'll also play some man. And when we get those opportunities that we have to be able to say, well, this ball has got to get out on a hitch or a hitch or two here. We don't have much more than that. Just, you know, play in and play out. So it's just everybody has got to have the – it's not like you got to go and do anything different. It's just, hey, guys, the timing and rhythm, we have got to get the ball out of our hands in terms of being at the right spot at the right time, the quarterback with his progressions and reads. Not, hey, we don't have to speed up, but, guys, we don't probably have too much more than that.
I like the way Liam Cohen talks football.
I can tell you're jealous every time you hear these other OCs
jealous.
Or coaches.
We have Nick Caley, like, oh, we don't need to motion, and we have to work hard, and, like, we need to try. And then you have Bobby Slowick, football is football. And you got Liam Cohen, like, teaching you offense.
Football is football.
I am so jealous. I think they got a guy. I think they got a guy at their head coach. Like, can he build a culture, leadership? Like, that stuff matters more than, like, the X's and O's. And, look, maybe Nick Caley has these thoughts. He just doesn't say these thoughts. Which there's obviously like great offensive minds, great defensive minds that think this, but then don't say this. So we can be fooled a lot of times with words. Like I care more about the actions, obviously. But man, I like hearing him talk football. I like hearing him talk football.
Yeah, even what Taylor was saying, just kind of the honesty a little bit. Like, you hear it, the struggles. And like, I don't think – like, that quote is great in the example of just getting the ball out quickly and doing things the right way. And I feel like we just don't get any of that with Nick Caley. And I'm not, you know, one to – I don't think it matters everything what a coach says, but like it, at some point, like it's, you know, it's that versus not being able to describe why you do and do not use motion.
Look, I don't care what they say at a press conference. Like, I do not care. I could care less if you were Marshawn Lynch, and I couldn't care less if you were Marshawn Lynch and went up there and like, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Mm. My fear is that this isn't being communicated in the offensive room. My fear is that this isn't being communicated to your quarterback. My fear is that this isn't being communicated to the offensive line. That's where my fear lies. I don't care if Nick Caley gives us nothing all year long. Could not care less. I don't care what a coach says at a press conference. I care about winning, and I care about production. My fear is that he's incompetent. Like, that's my fear. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. But I'm not one to be like, oh, they didn't give us anything at the press conference. How dare they? They don't owe us jack. They don't owe us anything at a press conference.
No, but my only counter to that is just that if they're being that open and honest with the media, it just gives me more confidence that those things are being shared. And if you're saying things that publicly, they're also 100% being shared privately.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Bobby Slowick last year was being asked about adjustments and things like that, and he would tell us, you know, it's football is football. It doesn't matter if
football
you adjust.
Football is football.
I think that's what it was related to when he said that. But, like, it's
– he was being asked about – Bobby Slowick was being asked about their like their identity when he said that.
Oh, and it's just when the coach is being more honest and more open with the media, just you know that it's also it's at least in even if it's the same tone and everything is being translated in meetings and things like that. And when you don't get that honesty from coaches, it just makes you wonder when things are going poorly, what is actually being said behind the scenes, and it gives you more open to interpretation of how bad things can be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, it gives you a little bit of confidence that, hey, you know, my guy knows what he's talking about, as opposed to a bunch of cliches. Like, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. That's fair. Texture, I think Trevor will actually not slide late. Robert and Beaumont, Texans on the money line. Jacksonville's not good. I made that bet, too. I'm on the Texans money line. I bet that Thursday, but I wish I could take it back. Like, I don't like that bet currently. I made it Thursday morning. I don't like that bet right now. Heck no, don't reach out to Lawrence. I hope he gets popped again. Message, slide quicker. Love, Aziz Alshire. So the text line doesn't really care about the whole Trevor Lawrence thing.
That would be very funny if he sent Trevor something and said, P.S., slide quicker.
That would be like a dog. Like, that would be like an enforcer. Like, that would be one of those, like, this is a mean son of a gun. Like, that would be awesome. I think I would love that, actually. Colts play the Titans this week. Colts are favored. That was one of your bets, right, Joe?
It was.
The new betting game we're calling it. Seth DeFlo, who's a regular on our show, friend of the show, he's out with his newest anthem for the Colts this weekend.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Titans.
Titans.
Hey, Cam Ward. Woo! This is our team. Go Colts.
What did he say? Yay! I love that guy so much.
He said Cam Ward who, but he's trying to turn it. Almost sounded like he tried to turn it into the horse neigh.
He did.
Like, whoo! Yeah. Like that.
I love that guy.
Cam Ward who?
His team's about to be 3-0 after
not
Sunday
as good
though.
As let's give him the Edgar Allen woes.
Oh, Edgar Allen woes work. The biggest bar he's ever had.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be towards the bottom. Without don't even need to listen to all of them. This one's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, Cam Ward who feels like he kind of mailed it in.
And he's the number one pick of the draft. Like, if you don't know who he is, you're a casual. Like, I mean, come on now. Seth DeFlo. We love you. Love you like a brother, but come on now. All right, when we return, Doghouse. Who joined your doghouse this week? 713-780-3776. Who is in your doghouse? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 975 and ESPN 92.5. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for some NFL football coming up on Sunday. We love football around here. I love football, but I think I love underdog.